I heard about an incident. Hey, Shannon, would you do me a favor and hit record on that? Nope, never mind. I've already hit that, so there you go. That'll be great for the internet.
Hi.
I heard about an incident on Southwest Airlines flight that happened a couple years back. Flight attendants have to handle the most difficult of circumstances, it seems like, on a daily basis. But this particular situation was a challenge for anybody. Like normal, the flight attendant is helping get everybody seated and getting their baggage in the overhead compartments, and it's a particular flight. And at the front of the plane, there is this man that was sitting that immediately began to make inappropriate advances toward this particular flight attendant. Now, she hadn't done anything at all to encourage this. But throughout the flight, he continued to cross appropriate boundaries with his remarks and suggestions. And what made this particular situation worse was at the back of the plane, there was another man doing the exact same thing. Again, she had done nothing to encourage this inappropriate behavior. Well, as the flight began its descent to land, the man at the front of the plane went way over the line, and he grabbed this flight attendant by the hand as she walked by, and he put in her hand a piece of paper that had an address written on it and a key. And he winked at her and he said, "Be there tonight at 9 o'clock. Well, she took this piece of paper, walked to the back of the plane, handed the note and the key to the other man that was doing this inappropriate behavior, and with a wink, she said, "Be there tonight at 9 o'clock. And the moral is, wrong things happen when people ask for the wrong things. A lot of us were taught to ask for the wrong thing when we pray. So Jesus is teaching us to unlearn some things about prayer so that we can learn to ask for the right things in prayer. So as we begin this morning in our lesson, let's stand up together and let's say the Lord's Prayer from Scripture together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You may be seated. Now, that prayer is very countercultural. It goes against the predominant worldview that says the highest purpose of life is to seek and to pursue the satisfaction of your desires. And our culture is discipling us to think that way. That's why in any poll or survey of our culture, when you ask the question, "What is the purpose of life?" the number one answer by far is always to be happy. The purpose of life is to do whatever I must do so that I can be happy. Rather than challenging such a small and self-absorbed view of life, too often the church has baptized that view and said, "We will teach you the Christian way." And we did that by misteaching the purpose of prayer. So things have been taught in church, such as people like Joyce Meyer, that would say, "You just need to name it and claim it." Or people like Creflo Dollar that would say, "God's already signed the check and it's blank and you just need to fill it in." Or people like Joel Osteen that would teach, "Through prayer, you can have the life you've always wanted." So prayer has become a way of trying to bend the will of God. But Jesus says that prayer is actually a way of trying to find the will of God. That's the purpose of prayer. Not for sending my want list. It is for bending my want list so that it lines up with God. Because, write this down, kingdom prayer wants what God wants. I heard about a guy from another preacher who has this friend with a particular habit of never looking at a menu in a restaurant. He always says to the waiter, "You order for me. I'll eat whatever you want me to have." I could never do that. I might say to the waiter, "What are the three most popular things that you sell?" I might say, "Well, I can't decide between this or that. What do you recommend?" But I'm always going to hold on to my veto power. I'm not going to let somebody else tell me what I should want. And that is exactly what Jesus says prayer is about. In fact, the very heart of this prayer is in verse 10. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is not for getting my will done in heaven. Prayer is for getting God's will done on earth. And this is such a huge paradigm shift for us to think that prayer is not about what I want so that I can be happy. It's why so often when people are frustrated, they say, "You know, God's not answering my prayers," when what they really are meaning is, "God is not doing what I want." But Jesus is not teaching you how to pray to advance your kingdom. He's teaching you to pray, "Your kingdom come." It is the passion of discipleship. It is the mission of the church. And it starts with a prayer to be rained on. Those might be the three most powerful words in our entire Bible. Your kingdom come. And I want you to consider exactly what you are saying when you pray, "Your kingdom come." First, "Your kingdom come" is an admission of surrender. It implies there's more than just one kingdom, and you've made a choice. You see, all kingdoms are vying for my allegiance. All kingdoms want my obedience. Maybe you heard about a controversy in Belgium sometime back. The well-known burger franchise here in America, Burger King, was opening their very first store in Belgium. And they did it with an online poll. They had the Burger King figure with a cartoonish caricature of the real king of Belgium, King Philip. And they had a chance to vote. Who is the real king? Well, it might not surprise you, the royal family was very upset with Burger King's online ad because they thought there's only one king in Belgium, and that's not up for election. Discipleship begins with the decision of who is the real king. That's why Jesus had this traveling sermon. Every single place that he went to, this is the first thing that he would preach. Mark chapter 1, beginning in the latter part of verse 14, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus said, "I've got some good news. A better kingdom has shown up, and you don't have to spend your life pursuing such petty and self-absorbed kingdoms offered to you by this world." You see, when Jesus said, "Repent," it was not so much a rebuke, it was a call to turn away from those other kingdoms. So instead of prayer being a way to use God, it instead is a plea for God to use us. Jesus says the good news is that you are invited to partner with God in bringing His reign to the earth. And that's what we ask for, which means we start by asking God to take over all the territory there is in our hearts. Because you see, you cannot pray with integrity, "Your kingdom come," if you know you're going to practice selective obedience. You are lying to God if you say, your kingdom come, and you know you're just going to go sleep with whoever you want to sleep with. You are lying to God if you say, your kingdom come, and you already know you're going to go to that party and you're going to get smashed a little later in the week. You're lying to God when you pray, your kingdom come, and you don't let God have any of your finances except that little teeny pittance that you have left over after you've already gotten everything you've wanted. And I'm telling you this because I love you as your pastor. Read chapter 5 of the book of Acts. You'll find out it's really bad to lie to God. Your kingdom come is a prayer of total surrender. It's not asking as much as it is offering. It's not giving God your list as much as it is enlisting. Because your kingdom come is a declaration of war. I don't need to tell you this, but things on earth are not the way they are supposed to be. As disciples, we will always pray with a certain measure of holy discontent until heaven and earth are completely united. We need more heaven on earth. We live in a world where tens of thousands of little girls every single day are trafficked for sex to filthy men. We need more heaven on earth. We live in a country this year that will spend more money on pornography than Major League Baseball, the National League Football, and the National Basketball Association will make this year combined. We have people on this planet, in our country, that believe if the pigment on your skin is a little lighter, that means you're more superior and you are more knowledgeable than others with a darker shade of pigment. And that, my friends, is repulsive thinking to heaven. We need more heaven on earth. You see, prayer is an act of rebellion against the way that things are. We are asking for the enemy to be displaced. We are asking for the kingdom of darkness that is in illegitimate possession of God's earth to be pushed back. General Abrams was leading an Allied platoon in the European theater in World War II, and he was completely surrounded by the Nazi army, and he got together, and with his characteristic optimism, he said to his other military leaders, "Gentlemen, for the first time in the history of this campaign, we can attack the enemy in any direction, and we can as well. No matter where we look, because God wants to reign over the entire earth. And the enemy does not have an anti-prayer defense system. There is nothing he can do about the prayers of God's saints." And I remember when the Allied forces invaded the country of Iraq many years back, and we were stunned at that point in military history at the Allies' ability to be able to bomb specific locations, like a building, not a town, but a building. Do you know why they were able to do that? Because there were special ops forces already embedded in Iraq, and they would have these lasers in their hand, and they knew there was the enemy in a particular building, and they would shine the laser on that building, and the missiles they would launch would lock onto those lasers and hit the building and go where it needed to go. That's exactly how prayer works for us. We get to say, "Lord, we need some up there to come down here. Right there." He wishes he could stop us, but the enemy cannot, because he does not want God's kingdom to come. Have you ever thought about this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, from the perspective of Satan? Everything that Jesus teaches us to pray is literally pushing back the kingdom of darkness. He doesn't want people to have their daily bread. He wants us to continue to live in a world of haves and have-nots and hoarding and greed and poverty. That's where his kingdom thrives. He doesn't want a world where people confess their sins and live in the light. He wants a world where we hide our junk and we keep pretending and we live with guilt, we live with shame, because that's how his kingdom thrives. He doesn't want a world where we forgive people and get rid of bitterness and resentment or love our enemies. He wants a world where hate and vengeance is normal, because that's how darkness thrives. So Satan says, go ahead and pray your petty little prayers. Pray for your kingdom. Pray for your comfort. Pray that life will go just like you want it to go. Just do not pray that the world will be able to see and witness the reign of God. We cannot allow ourselves to be distracted or intimidated, because we are at war. The very first time that the church was ever threatened for preaching Jesus by authorities who were able to actually leverage and carry out their threats, the church got together, and you need to see the incredible thing that they prayed. Acts chapter 4, verse 29, they prayed, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." God, we know that you want the message of Christ to reach the earth, so give us the courage to just keep on preaching. We don't care what it'll cost us. We want what you want, God. We're praying for what you want. You see, in Jesus' name is not just a hashtag. It's not just what you slap on the slogan at the end of a prayer. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name actually means he saves. So when you pray in Jesus' name, you're saying, God, I want what I asked for, because it's going to help bring about the salvation of Jesus into this world. That's what God wants. That's what you should want. That's what I should want. Because you see, your kingdom come is an expectation of victory. Now, sometimes it feels like heaven and earth are never going to get together. You just watch the news headlines and you want to take Xanax for depression. Somewhere in the east of Texas, there's this little town. It's called Little Hope. And in that little town, there's the First Baptist Church of Little Hope. And they might be some of the sweetest people that God has ever put on this earth, but they need to change the name of their church. I don't want to go to a church of Little Hope. I know it is hard to pray fervently when you're not praying expectantly. So let me ask you a real question. Is Jesus teaching us a prayer that has no possibility of being answered? Is Jesus teaching us a pointless prayer? I don't believe that. I think it's not just a request to pray, "Your kingdom come." I think it's a prophecy. I think one day God's will really will be done on earth. And I think one day, one kingdom only will reign on earth. And I think John saw a vision of that day in his Revelation. He said in chapter 17 of Revelation, "They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers." God isn't just going to reign over all the earth. He's going to use us to help bring about his kingdom. He already is. God is using his faithful followers right now to give the world a glimpse of the coming kingdom. Heaven is breaking out all over, if we would just have the eyes of faith to see it. I saw some heaven when I saw our youth group go out and give meals and backpacks filled with stuff to homeless people on a cold Wednesday night downtown Des Moines. I've seen some heaven when I see faithful men each week go out and take communion to folks who can't make it here every Sunday. I've seen heaven in the eyes of, of meth addicts, some that I know by name, that show up to the doors of our church during the week asking for some food. And I give them a box of food from our pantry, and they get a prayer with a pastor. I see heaven coming down in a simple discussion with young people in our church about the evils of racism. I've seen heaven in the hearts of men who have decided, I need to be a better man. I need to be a better husband. I need to be a better father. So they get together with some other men to want to do just that. I've seen heaven in the eyes of people who have decided to follow Jesus and commit their entire life to that simple premise that He is Lord, not me. You see, I want to be very transparent with you. I want this church to grow with people. I want this place to be a place where God uses you, God uses me, to be able to communicate the truth of Jesus Christ with every single person we run into in our city. I want God's kingdom to come right here at the fort. I do not want us to be distracted by or depressed by the way that things are. I want us to live for what ought to be and for what will be. Heaven is God's dream for the earth. And it's not a pipe dream. God always gets what He wants. And what God wants is what we would want if our eyes were open wider to the beauty of the kingdom of God. Wayne Smith, famous preacher, is now with the Lord. He used to preach at a large church in Lexington, Kentucky, and he would drive every single week to Louisville, Kentucky, to meet with preachers at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville. And he, as he got up in age, he would always be the guy that would bring the boxes of donuts to the preachers' meetings. And these guys would get together and they would practice, put together sermons together, and they'd work on it as a team effort. And Wayne always, you know, just borrowed from the other guys. But he got to a stage in his life where he needed to eat better, and the doctor said, you can't eat donuts anymore, Wayne. You just can't do it. So one day rolls around, and Wayne shows up at a preacher's meeting, and he's carrying four boxes of donuts from his favorite donut shop. And one of the guys says, Wayne, I thought you weren't going to be eating donuts anymore. Your doctor said you can't do this. And he said, you know, I know my doctor said that, but I was on my way here this morning and I passed by my favorite donut shop and I thought maybe God does want me to have some donuts. And I prayed, God, if you want me to have a donut, let there be a parking space open up right out front. He said, I got to tell you, Brother Dave, it was a miracle. The eighth time I went around the block, there was a space right out front. You see, we are taught that prayer is how we try to convince God about what we want. And Jesus says, no. Prayer is where God works in your heart and then you start to want what God wants. You see, God wants for us to want His reign. It really is good news. What God wants for you is not going to make your life more miserable. God wants an actual abundant life for you. And it's the right thing to ask for. And Jesus did not just teach this. He prayed this. It's the night before He's about to die, and the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness are about to have the greatest conflict they have ever had. And Jesus is literally doing business with God, and He does what you probably don't do when you pray. He got down on His face, and He is praying so hard there are drops of blood. And the Bible says He prayed these words, Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me. But then He prayed exactly what He taught. Yet I want Your will to be done, not mine. And because He prayed that prayer, a curtain was torn in two, and a way was made for you to go into the very throne room of God with your prayers. So I want to do that with you right now. Would you stand up? And I want to pray with you. Father, we are asking now in the powerful name of Jesus for some heaven to come to earth this week. We pray against false kingdoms, even our own. We pray against illegitimate sovereigns, even ourselves. We ask to get rained on. We ask for your Holy Spirit to so transform our hearts that we are desperate for your will. God, we ask you to help us want what you want for Jesus' sake. Amen.